Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for June 30th, 2024 is based on Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. The guest preacher is Pastor John Hitzeroff.
An introduction. Jairus, a respected leader, begs Jesus to heal his daughter. A woman with a hemorrhage was considered ritually unclean and treated as an outcast. Both Jairus and the unnamed woman come to Jesus in faith, believing in his power to heal and bring life out of death. A reading from Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So Jesus went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now, there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Word of God, word of life. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. During this summer, we'll be reading primarily from the Gospel of Mark. Now, in August, you're going to hear from 5 weeks of the Gospel of John. But it's the Gospel of Mark. And Mark was seen as and studied the earliest of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They aren't in the Bible in order as far as when they were written. So Mark has a take on Jesus that has us in these early chapters spending time with him. So what does it mean to spend time with Jesus? Well, you get to be in a boat in a storm last week. And you wonder, are we going to all perish? Well, this week we have Jesus making choices, like I told the kids, because the choices that Jesus makes challenge us in the choices then that we make. And by spending time with Jesus, as those disciples and those people who gathered around him found, Jesus' choices sometimes were surprising, were a little challenging, and at times just made no sense at all. But the one choice that Jesus offers that we need to really take seriously is the one that he says when he learns, overhears, that Jairus' daughter has died. "Don't bother the teacher any longer. There's nothing he can do," they say. And what does Jesus say? "Do not fear, only believe." Or actually, the word means trust. Only trust. So there's our choice when we spend time with Jesus. Are we going to fear? Or are we going to trust? That's a little deeper than just deciding what flavor of frozen custard you're going to get down at Witz. And it's okay for us to look at the kind of choices that we make that are that mundane, that normal, and examine them through perhaps the eyes of Jesus and also through the eyes of those that we encounter in our daily lives. Now, the first choice that kind of presents itself in the day's gospel is Jesus going to deal with the urgent or the important? I'm sure some of you have been to those kind of, you know, leadership seminars where somebody tells you on a PowerPoint, are you going to do what's urgent or are you going to do what's important? And they define what each of those are and then how you're going to go about making that choice. I see some people going, oh yeah, is he going to put that up on the screen? No. But what do we do with urgent or important? Those are the kind of choices we make all the time. You know, it's important to put on our brakes. Sometimes it's far more urgent. Right? And so for us, urgency versus importance is something that confronted Jesus. And what does he do? He takes care of both, which of course probably gives us some insight into how we've made choices about how we make choices. Jesus says you can have both as long as you're not fearing and only trusting. Oh, there's the challenge. Jesus reaches out, or actually he's reached out to, by the unclean woman. The introduction helps define her. Somebody who had that kind of a medical condition was considered unclean and had no standing in the community. And of course, the reason that the people who were associated with Jairus and came to tell him his daughter had died, he didn't go around dead bodies. They were unclean too. And they didn't want the teacher to be touching or being near a dead body. Makes sense. They were following the right choices. But here we are spending time with Jesus. And so what does Jesus do? Well, you know, I guess you might have a bracelet. You know, what would Jesus do? But, of course, my bracelet that had WWJD, I always thought it meant, why would Jesus die? Not what would Jesus do? Because I think that helps inform what God's all about, which gets to the choices that we find when we're with Jesus and spend time with him. Jesus, by this time in the Gospel of Mark, seems to want to associate, if not befriend, if not heal, and if not touch, do all those things with people who are lost and outcast, who are broken, and who are unclean. And he does far more than just associate with them or is tolerant of them. By the end of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus becomes outcast. Jesus becomes broken. Jesus becomes unclean because the only unclean people got crucified. So that's where God wants to spend time. Doing that. And so if God chooses to not fear and trust that all God does will save us, what is our calling as the people of God here in this place? Well, if we think we can make the choice, we're a bit presumptuous, I'll use that word. Because after all, that's what retired pastors do. Come up with a big word, presumptuous. In Luther's Small Catechism, and if you wanted to look at it, and I'm not asking you to do that right now, but in the Cranberry books that are here, you know, in the back on page 1162, I looked that up. I mean, I don't have it memorized. We have Luther's Small Catechism. In fact, the whole Small Catechism is in there. The Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the two sacraments. And his questions and answers that he wrote back in 1526 about what you needed to know to be a Christian regarding those symbols of faith. Gets to the third article of the Creed, and he writes about, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the welfare of blessing, you know, that part. He says, I believe that I cannot, by my own understanding or effort, even believe in Jesus or come to him. But the Holy Spirit calls me through the gospel, enlightens me with God's gifts, makes me holy, and keeps me in the faith. So it isn't us making choices, it's God making that choice for us already. Why we baptize infants. It isn't somebody deciding for Jesus, it's God's already decided for you, and we witness that as a community. And we tell everyone, God loves Graham. And we want to show a sign of that love that's more than simply a card or a shower gift. And when we receive Jesus' body and blood, that's a gift. A gift of all God has and all God's given for you and for me. Now, of course, remember that the for you, that's another part of the catechism. Luther reminds us that when Jesus says for you, that's all you need to know. It's for you. The other thing you need to know is that you is a plural. In other words, it's in community that God works. So because my first call was in South Central Missouri, I learned that what Jesus was actually saying was, that's for y'all. And just for one of you, individually, it's for y'all. My body, my blood, for y'all. But then, of course, people in the South say, if you want to say more than one person, it's all y'all. So I don't know, I guess. That's the problem with vernacular. How will we spend our time with Jesus making choices that fear not and only believe? Well, one way is by gathering to worship. Another way is by growing as disciples, and you provide yourselves with all sorts of opportunities to do that, whether it's Bible study or fellowship activities, and then it's helping God's people and all of God's people, whether it's here within the congregation or in the community of Lebanon. So know that those are the ways in which you fear not, but only believe. The first hymn that we'll sing during communion is probably one many of you know, Healer of Our Every Ill. Has a nice chorus, nice refrain. It was written by a fellow that was born a year before me, Marty Haugen. He has many hymns in songs, in worship songs in our hymnal. Healer of Our Every Ill was written in February of 1986. In January of 1986, the Challenger blew up. And he wrote that hymn in response to that tragedy. So when you're reading and singing those words today, think about the context of what it means to be a healer of our every ill. It's a call to fear not and only believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.